So at the moment, we are in the middle of the series, Everyone is Recovering from Something. This is a phrase, most of you know my story, you know about my addictions, me being in recovery. But this was a phrase I began to say when I began to really look at the totality of my life, and I began to realize that recovery was from things greater than addiction. There was an underlying something that was causing and driving my addiction, and it was the same thing that everybody dealt with. See, everybody has some type of trauma in their life that causes them to do things that pull them away from the grace of God. This is the thing that everybody is recovering from. Some people, it's from traumas that happened in their childhood that may cause anger or depression issues. Some people, it's from the loneliness of divorce. But there's always that thing that drives you into a form of behavior that is not in line with who God intends for you to be. And when I realized that this was the truth of the situation, that we all had our demons, that we all had our skeletons and our issues that drove us farther away from God, I began to realize that we were all on the same level because everybody is recovering from something. So when Dave got a hold of me and told me that he planned on doing a whole series surrounding this, I was kind of like, oh no, you know, I'm not sure that I want to preach on this subject. You know, I mean, I talk about it all day long everywhere I go. But thankfully, he's doing the series. He's doing the majority of the series, which makes my job easy because I only got to do one part of it. So at this moment, Dave talked about last week how this helps on the road of discipleship. It helps in the restoration of your relationship with God. But for this particular moment of discipleship, or this step, if you will, of restoration of your relationship with God that we're going to cover, it's a combination of three different points. The first point is recognition. To get the totality of this point of discipleship, we're going to look again at King David. And it's going to be kind of a rehash of some things that Dave had talked about last week, but you have to understand David's story or David's sin in order to understand this step in your progression. David was king, and David was on his rooftop one day, and he looks over and he spies out Bathsheba bathing on her rooftop. David, filled with lust, takes Bathsheba and he sleeps with her. Depending on your interpretation or your understanding of the Bible, some of us believe that David raped her. Bathsheba becomes pregnant because of this. David, trying to hide his guilt and shame from the rest of the kingdom, tries to get Bathsheba's husband Uriah to sleep with her. He brings him back from the war, tells him to go home. But his loyalty to the king, he wouldn't even go home to his wife. So that failed for David to cover up his sin. David then decides to put her husband Uriah on the front lines of the war so that he may be killed, to where it would be free for him to marry Bathsheba, and once again his sin would be covered up. Bathsheba was killed, and David went on with his life. But the prophet Nathan came to David and he told him this parable about a rich man and a poor man who lived next to each other. And the rich man had all the cows and everything that he would ever need to be able to survive, but the poor man only had one. The rich man, deciding that he wanted what the poor man had, sent his people to take the cow so that they may kill it so that he may give it to his guest. David says to Nathan, "Tell me who this man is. He surely will not survive." Nathan says to the king, "David, it's you." This causes David to go into a whirlwind, because sometimes it's easy for us to move throughout our lives and push our sins off as if they're not a big deal. But it takes somebody else coming to us to tell us how we hurt them for us to realize the totality of our iniquities. David begins to go through some issues. He begins to break down. So the second point in your restoration is confession, which Dave talked about last week. The part of the scripture Dave used last week was Psalm 32, in which David talks about how the guilt and the shame over his sin and what he had tried to hide, how it was hurting him and deteriorating him to his bones. And Dave summarized that it was only after David made this confession to God of his actual sins that was he physically restored. And we know this because David continued to live a long and healthy life. But the truth is that, especially for a lot of us in addiction recovery, we know that while the body may recover, there is still damage caused to the soul that has to be addressed. David may have recovered physically, but it wasn't until he did the third point that he began to fully restore his relationship with God. And that was acknowledgement. Now, I know acknowledgement and confession might sound like the same thing, but bear with me for a moment. I will show you how it is not. The scripture that we're going to use today is Psalms chapter 51, verse 1 through 10. And it reads, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth of the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." See, while we look at our sins, just like I talked about, especially with addiction, while we look at the things that we have done, it is easy for us to see the actions that were not in line with God. It becomes easy for us to share these things with other people or even address these things to God and asking for forgiveness. "Father, forgive me for doing these things to your temple that I know are not healthy. Father, forgive me for treating my wife that way. Father, forgive me for abandoning my children." There are all types of actions that we ask God forgiveness for, and these are things that we're okay with acknowledging. But even an addict can tell you one of the hardest things to do is actually take that look in the mirror and see what's on the inside. See what's behind those actions. See, David talks about God granting him wisdom in the secret places. That's the subconscious. That's the place that knows what is driving the body. It's the spirit. It's the place that is behind all of your actions, including your praise. And this is why he asks for the wisdom and the blessings here. He talks about being purged with hyssop so that he may be whiter than snow. The hyssop is a little bush that's native to the Israeli-Egypt area. And it was the hyssop that they used to sprinkle the blood over the doorpost during Passover so that the first child may survive. It is also the foreshadow of the sprinkling of Christ's blood on our lives to cover up our sins, to forgive our sins. The problem with some of us as we move through this step is that we think that for the forgiveness of sins is the end of the struggle. But how can you move forward in life if you never address why you sin? Repentance is necessary. Repentance is cool. Confession is a must. But if you confess your sins but you do not deal with the original issue that is behind the sin, you are constantly asking you to forgive God for an action that you are doing nothing to change. David was restored in his bones, but in his spirit, he was still crying out for help. And it was only at this point that he asked God to create in him a clean heart, a heart that was no longer filled with lust, a heart that was no longer filled with pride, a heart that was no longer filled with the drink of power that came with being a king, and renewing him a heart that was only about God. It's interesting to me that David would cry this out, because the Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. But David understood that his heart was not correct. David understood that there was an underlying demon that drove him beyond where God wanted him to go. But the most important thing to me, David said, was renew a right spirit in me. So many times when we go through these struggles, we have the habit of turning around and blaming God for the struggle that we're going through. We have the habit of being upset instead of focusing our mind's eye on the path that God may have coming ahead. For the addict, we ask that question in the streets. God, why do we go through these things? For the addict, we ask that question in recovery. God, why does it have to be so hard? Is this really what you want from me? And we blame him for things in our spirit that he has already given him the answer to. Outside of the addiction world, we look at trauma. I experienced childhood trauma myself. And for so many years, I would look at God and I would question him and I would ask him, if you really love me, if I am really your child, how could you allow me to go through these situations? In my spirit, I was bitter. In my spirit, I was angry. In my spirit, I did not want to acknowledge the fact that I had done some of these things to myself. So how do we renew? How do we allow God to renew a right spirit within us? First, you get down to the core of what your issue is. You have to be willing to look in the mirror and see just where you choose to be outside of God's perfect plan for you. This is not an easy thing to do. It requires you being 100% honest. I'm not saying you have to go tell the person that's sitting next to you. But when you go bow before God, you cannot come to him with any falseness. You have to come to him with a completely open and innocent heart. Father, I am a prideful man. Father, I am a lustful man. Father, I am a man after power. Father, I like the feeling of when people fear me. Father, these things in me are not like you. I need you to create in me a clean heart. As we walk along this road of recovery, there are ups and downs, and there's no one day that everything clicks together and it's an aha moment that we have survived or we have come through whatever struggle that we face. This is a day-by-day process. Things don't just get better on Monday morning when you wake up because you went to church on Sunday morning and said hallelujah. You have to give your life to God every single day. You have to hit your knees every single day. We are all recovering from something. I don't know what Sean's pain is more than Sean knows what mine is. I don't know what Aaron struggles with as much as Aaron knows what I struggle with. What I do know is that we share a same road of spiritual recovery. This is where I kind of differ with Dave a little bit. Dave talked last week about how he doesn't like confession. He couldn't imagine telling his secrets to somebody else. But I think it's important for that. I think confession to your brother is an important step in getting to the point where you can reveal your character defects to God. Because when you begin to talk with your brother about the sins that you have committed, and your brother begins to talk back to you about the sins that he committed, you can see your own defects in the man that you speak to. Then you can clearly lay them before God, because now you can see clearly who you are and why you have become who you became. We spend a lot of time blaming our personal character defects on everything under the sun. Our parents, drugs, our economic situation, our societal situation. We were poor. We grew up with violent family members. And it's always on something else. But when we stop and we take a look at ourselves, we realize that somewhere along that path, we chose to fall into that same nature. What is it that can break you out of it? There is only one. That is God. I myself spent many years trying to get myself out of that prison. The more and more that I tried, the farther and farther into the darkness I fell. But it wasn't until I hit my knees and I revealed to him that I knew who I was at that moment. But I no longer wanted to be who I knew I was. I wanted to be who he knew I was. All of these defects that we have as people, all of these defects that we have in our society, all of these defects that we have in our church, they are all healable defects. The problem is we never hand them over to God. We don't want to be honest about the situations that we are struggling with, at least not to the point of the deeper inner parts. There's always this secret that human beings want to hide back. It gives us power and control over our own lives. But God does not want you to have power and control over your life. He wants you to give the power and control over your life to him. In the rooms of AA, they say we were ready to turn our character defects over to God. I bring this message to you today to push you beyond the point of being ready. I bring this to you today to bring you to the point of the realization that it is time to reveal your character defects to God. There's so much pain and there's so much struggle in our world right now. There's so much pain and there's so much struggle inside of our families, inside of our homes. But we don't want to admit where it starts. It starts because the way that we live is in a nature that we take things on our own and we don't turn each other over to God. My character defect that I know of is the fact that I am a controlling human being. I like to be in control of everything. It's why I worked myself to the supervisor position at my job. It's part of what I like about being a pastor. It's part of why I like leading meetings. I like to be in control. The problem is I quite often find myself at home, broken down, crying to my fiance because that control has overpowered me and I can no longer handle the stress that I have put myself under. It's at those moments that I realize I have to turn myself back over to God. In my discussions with people, that is the biggest question. How do I let go and let God? In order to let go and let God, you first must actually look at you. You must realize where you are not in line with God, where your nature, where your core being, who you choose to be day by day, does not align with the design that God has for you. And when you look and you find that person, you go to him in prayer. Don't beat around the bush. Tell him exactly what you found. Then he can begin to change the man. I don't know what you're recovering from today. I don't know what demon you choose to keep trapped in the closet. I don't know what defect you have that you don't want to face. But I do want to offer you the chance today to look at yourself not in your own mirror, but in the mirror of Christ. Christ is the only one who has walked who had no defects. No physical defects, no spiritual defects, no emotional defects, no mental defects. The only full picture of the man that God created us to be. When you look at yourself and you judge where you are in your recovery, you judge where you are in your relationships, you judge where you are in your life. Where does your character align with the character of Christ? Where are you lacking? In those areas that you are lacking, bring them to the altar. Give them to God and allow him to move and bring you through your struggle and change who you are. Lastly, on this series, we are all recovering from something. One of the things that I hope is accomplished through this, because not everybody deals with what we view as addiction, but we all deal with trauma. And I'm hoping that this series brings us closer as a family to where we begin to see each other through the same lens that God does and realize that one struggle is not greater than another struggle, but it is all still struggle. Then maybe those who don't deal with addiction we'll reach out to those who do deal with an addiction, and we can help each other through that struggle. Those who maybe dealt with abuse inside of the childhood could reach out to those who had a great childhood and begin to figure out how to help heal that pain, to heal up the next generation that's coming behind us. Because as long as there is a division in the things that we suffer from, as long as there is a division in the fact that we have to recover, we as a church will never get to the point where we begin to influence society again. We are too separated in our minds. We are too separated in our hearts. But we all have the same defects. We all have the same sin. We all refuse to lay it down at the feet of God so that he can heal this. So let's break this apart. Let's break it down to its basic steps. Father, I am a sinner and I'm not worthy of your grace. Father, I know that the person sitting next to me is a sinner and they're not worthy of your grace. But Father, I know that you can forgive us both. Father, give me the strength to reveal my defects to my brother, that my brother may help me reveal my defects to you. Once I have laid my defects at your feet, give me the strength to help my brother do the same. There is a road of recovery. The truth is, from your specific situation, your recovery does not have to last your whole life. You will always be recovering from something. There will always be a new trauma that you have to get through. But the current trauma that you face that keeps you trapped in the mentality that you are in now, you can survive. You can give it over to God at any moment you choose. It's up to you. People have a lot of different opinions on these things. And the truth is, that's just my opinion. You do not have to suffer from the addiction that you are under the rest of your life. You do not have to suffer from the pain that you hold on to from your trauma for the rest of your life. You do not have to hold on to that divorce. You do not have to hold on to that man that beat you. You do not have to hold on to that father or that uncle that molested you. You can lay all of those things down at the cross right now. I invite you to do so. For me, that was the only way that I could survive. My demons were driving me crazy to the point where I became a demon myself. It was only at the feet of the cross that I found redemption. And it's only ever been at the feet of the cross that I've ever seen redemption in anybody. I invite you in this moment to bring your defect to the altar. I invite you in this moment, if you have not accepted Christ, if you have not gotten to the point where you have said, I cannot survive without him, I invite you to do so. I will pray with you today. I will pray with you tomorrow. I will pray with you the day after. I will walk this road of recovery with you. The truth is, I need you to walk it through with me. I can't do this on my own. I don't have the strength to get down on my knees at all times and face God and tell him the truth about me. Sometimes I need you to strengthen me. I don't know who's going through what in this room today. I don't know what person is trying to run from the grace that God affords. I can't call you out by name, but there are people in this room today who are so ashamed of the things that they've done or are so ashamed of the things that they face that not only can they not bring it to their brothers, they cannot bring it to God himself. It is you that I am talking to today. It is you that I want to help today to be able to come to the Father and give him your defects, to be able to come to the Father and say, I can't make it on my own. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all have had our situations. We all have done things that we are not proud of. We all have done these things that do not allow us to be in or should not allow us to be inside of the grace of God. But the great thing is that God sent Jesus, who went to the cross and bore all of our guilt and shame. He took it upon our shoulders, and by his stripe we were healed. With every blow that they delivered to Christ, a new sin was stripped away. With every time they struck the nail to put him into the cross, a new shame dripped away from us. We do not have to live that way anymore. Simply by the grace of God, if you are carrying a burden of shame on your shoulders today, it is time to lay it down. That burden does not have to be yours any longer. We all, every man, every woman in this room are recovering from something. Now is the time to join with this family that we may recover together. You don't have to put it off any longer. You don't have to depend on your own means to make it through to survive. You can do it today. Simply call on the name of Christ. He is the only thing that will save you from any of those burdens. When you look at me, when you look at your pastor, Dave, we both have our struggles too. And we have to depend not just upon each other, but upon members of this family to be strengthened to make it through ourselves. And then we take it to the feet of God. And then we prepare the sermon. And then we bring to you what God has already sent us through. As the band comes. If there is anybody in this moment who is ready and willing to lay their burden down, if there's anybody in this moment who is ready and willing to say to the church family that they need help, if there's anybody in this moment who has not received Christ in their life, who has yet to come to not only know him but accept his saving grace, now is the moment. I invite you to come up and pray with me. But if you don't feel comfortable leaving your seat, just raise your hand and I will come and pray with you. Now is the time. It's not too late. We are all recovering from something. Let us recover together.